is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here. We are a week away from Black Friday, so a bit of a different focus today. We're going to take a look ahead to Black Friday and shopping and a lot of related topics. And Jason Boyce is on with us from the Los Angeles area, entrepreneur and nationally recognized expert on Amazon. Jason, thanks for being on today.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. Well, I'm an ex-Marine that started selling on Amazon back in 2003. And, you know, my standard joke is the difference between being a big Amazon seller and a Marine was that the Marines was easier, Kyle. It's a really tough gig. And I did that for about 17 years, became a top 200 seller, had an exit. I wrote a book called The Amazon Jungle with my co-author, Rick Cesari, about my experience and also sort of the best path forward and how to sell on Amazon to become a top seller. And then as a result of writing the book, I founded an agency after lots of friends and brands said, how can you help me sell on Amazon? And so now I have an agency where we help other sellers or brands sell their products effectively and grow on the Amazon platform.
And I understand you've got a bit of an Oregon connection, too.
You know, I'm an old Tillamook cheesemaker. I spent 6 years in Tillamook. I still smile every time I see Tillamook cheese in the aisle at the grocery store. And my wife went to Sheldon High in Eugene, Oregon, and played basketball for Southern Oregon. So, and we every year we go back and spend time in either Sun River or the Bend area because we just feel a special connection to the state of Oregon.
So let's talk about Black Friday. With the pandemic and with everything else in the last couple of years, for some people, they mentally aren't even there yet. And shopping has changed so much in just the last several years. Talk about kind of the shift.
Well, you know, we're not even fully sure what the long-term shift is going to be. There was always this big move towards online shopping and the convenience of it and offering, you know, unlimited selection, which is what you get basically when you buy on some place like Amazon or Walmart.com. But we're still trying to figure out what this landscape is going to look like post COVID. Last year, of course, was an anomaly. Online sales grew something like 45%, which is equivalent to what it did 15 years ago. Because there weren't as many stores that were open. Now, this year is going to be a little different, Kyle, because there are a lot more stores that are open, but there's another unique twist, and that is a sort of supply chain pain that everyone's having, and there's no guarantee that what you want is going to be in stock because of the backup at the ports. But I think in the final analysis, more people are buying online than ever. Maybe people who were nervous about buying online before, they were kind of nervous about that learning curve for their first order, all of that's behind them because they didn't have a choice but to buy online last year. And a lot of those folks are never going back to only buying in the store again. So it's an e-commerce world. Amazon owns that world. And that's sort of the biggest shift that I've seen. And I'll be curious to see how much of those gains they keep next year, but I suspect it's a sizable portion.
It seems like this year, though, there are a lot of folks that are also looking at kind of making up for the lost opportunity last year where folks either didn't have some of their retail outlets, you know, they weren't open, or folks just didn't feel comfortable being out there in, you know, more crowded stores with COVID and all of that going on. And this year, some folks have talked about, you know, art galleries and being able to get, you know, an item that's just, you know, there's just one of them created. And it's very different than the mass production mode of a lot of the Amazon products.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that I know I feel this way in my household. My wife and I felt cooped up. And, you know, we want to go to a store now, whereas last year we were much more apprehensive. You know, we didn't have a vaccine on board and, you know, sure, everyone was masked, but there was just a lot of uncertainty and anxiety about going to a brick and mortar store. I think there's less of that this year than there was last year. And you can see it in the retail numbers, right? The Q3 numbers and even the early numbers for October, the brick and mortar retail space is seeing much higher growth than they've ever seen, because people are just, you know, Kyle, they've been pent up and they want to get back in the stores and they want to walk the aisles and they want to see see other human beings, you know, rather than the online experience. But you know, on the online experience, look, it's Amazon's world. Everyone else lives in it. They own more than half of the online market share. They have the widest selection, the best logistics network. And even if you're walking around in the store, we know that that drives traffic through to the mobile. People are pulling up their mobile app. They're pulling up the Prime app, and they're you know, they're seeing if it's available on Amazon, and they're buying it right there in the store, and it'll be there the next day or the day after. And so this sort of, you know, there's definitely this multi-channel look at this, and e-commerce is here to stay, and it's only getting bigger and stronger.
So talk about the supply chain issue. I mean, people are seeing it in various parts of their lives. You go in, and a product that's always there isn't there. I was at a drive-through line getting something for my wife recently, and there weren't no tomatoes to go on the taco that day. And I'm like, what? Yeah, how is this possible? You know, there are tomatoes down the road in the farm. I just saw them. But I mean, sometimes when you have shortages, they are factored or rather focused in particular areas. But now it seems like it's all up in the air and just about anything could be missing or not available when you want it.
Yeah, you know, I've had the same experience. I'm trying to get red wine vinegar so I can make my my marinade for my flank steak. And the last two times I've gone to the store, it's still not there. And they're like, it's sitting on a boat off of Long Beach somewhere. We don't have it yet. And there has been literally this perfect storm, Kyle. There's been an enormous surge in demand after an unnatural pause because of COVID. There's been a very large shortage of workers for various reasons. And, you know, the latest unemployment numbers show that's improving a little bit. There's been a shortage of delivery drivers. There's been a shortage of delivery trucks. And then on the food side, you know, you mentioned tomatoes. Very interesting. I got coffee clients that we help sell their coffee on Amazon. And, you know, depending on where they source their coffee, there was either a big drought or a huge amount of rain that ruined crops. And so there's been some climate change issues that have been affecting the supply of food, certain types of food, and all of it connects back to, are there enough trucks to get it delivered? And so it really has been a historic, perfect storm of reasons for why you go into a store, and unlike anything we've lived in our lifetime, sometimes half those shelves are empty, you know, kind of like they were last year. If you wanted to go try to find toilet paper, that aisle was empty, you know, for long sections of time. And so it's unlike anything we've ever seen. I'm confident that it will work itself out. I just don't know how long it's going to take. I think we're looking at some of these troubles going deep into next year, maybe longer. Who knows?
You know, and prior to Amazon times, when there was less online activity going on in the shopping world, you'd go out to shop for the holidays. People like me were known for going out and starting our holiday shopping on December 23rd. And I would pull it off every year, and I would always get pretty much everything I was looking for. But this year, between online and between retail and with the supply chain shortage, it seems like if folks have a gift in mind, they better be shopping early.
They absolutely should be buying early. And, you know, there's two points there, Kyle. The first point is, yeah, there was a much higher concentration of sales during certain days. I remember having Thanksgiving dinner with my family, and my aunts and my grandmother were talking about where they were going to go for the Black Friday sale the next day, right? And people just don't want to do that. There's definitely some of that activity that's going on, but the concentration of those sales are spread out more than they ever were because of availability online. And the second point that you're making, Kyle, is you absolutely should buy stuff immediately if you haven't already. And because if you wait too long, I guarantee that you will be able to get a thing, but you might not be able to get the thing that you really wanted badly or that your children wanted badly. So if it's a hot item that you know is going to be in high demand, like it's toy season, right, Kyle? So if you want to buy the baby Grogu, you know, the baby Yoda like Grogu that snacks, you better order it now, because next week it's probably not going to be available, because a lot of these retailers and sellers just have not been able to get the amount of quantity they wanted to get moving into this holiday season.
Going to take a break. More when we come back. Jason Boyce, seasoned entrepreneur, nationally recognized expert on Amazon. We'll talk more about Amazon behind the scenes and how products get from point A to B when we come back, along with other topics. The interview, a podcast after 1-541-radio.com, 1246 at Inside Douglas County from News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4, Umpqua Valley Live, looking at arts, entertainment, and community activities. And for the first time in almost 2 years, we're going to have the Umpqua Singers in studio this afternoon with Dr. Jason Heald, and we'll focus on some other upcoming activities around the Umpqua Valley. That's later today. Monday's Inside Douglas County, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with an in-depth look at COVID-19-related topics. Jason Boyce with us now, an entrepreneur, nationally recognized expert on Amazon, joining us from the Los Angeles area. So, Jason, tell us a little bit more, because I think people like me, in fact, even as we started talking here, it occurred to me I hadn't really thought a lot about Amazon in terms of how the products get to them. I've just thought about these big warehouses and how you organize things and all of that. But, I mean, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes just to get the products to Amazon.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And you know, before the break, I hope on the break, Kyle, you were ordering your holiday gifts on your Prime app, because, you know, you got to be quick about it. But this supply chain that goes – not only the supply chain, Kyle, the technology that goes behind not only getting products designed, made, and get put on trucks and boats and more trucks and vans and airplanes to get to your door is massive. You know, just to give you an idea, the majority of these small consumer goods are still coming from somewhere in Asia, right? A growing number are coming from Latin America. But even if you're a brand here in the United States, it's likely that you're using a contract factory. In Asia, the largest of those factory bases is, of course, in China. And so you get your product made in a factory. It goes on a truck. A truck drives to a port. It goes on a shipping container, these large steel shipping containers that are 20 or 40 feet. You put it on a truck. The truck goes to the port and waits. That can, if you call it, if you will, that ocean container gets dropped onto a ship. The ship comes across the ocean, and nowadays it comes across the ocean and drops anchor somewhere between L.A. and San Diego, because there's such a backlog of ships. At last count, there were something around 140 of these ships, each one with anywhere from 10,000 to 50,000 ocean containers sitting on that ship, anchored off of the port of California, because the throughput is so slow that they can't get these containers offloaded and put on trucks here in the United States. And so the Long Beach ports, the LA ports, if you've watched the news, you've seen these crazy, crazy images and video of just how bad the backlog is. And then, so you get these ocean containers offloaded at the port, then they attach to a trailer. The trailer goes to a distribution center, which is a larger, longer storage warehouse. And for most Amazon sellers, they're storing their long-term storage there. And then if they want to sell it on Amazon, they're shipping it again on another truck into an Amazon fulfillment center so that they can get the Prime badge and have their goods delivered to the customer's door in 2 days or less. And then, you know, once it gets into the FBA center, the good gets sold on Amazon. Amazon's an extensive delivery network. Picks that thing, puts on a truck and several trucks and sometimes an airplane and gets it to your door in record time. It is really a modern marvel in terms of just how many times these things travel. And then the additional marvel piece is the technology that Amazon has employed, both artificial intelligence and otherwise, to allow you to go to a website or go to your Prime app, see a product that you want. You're logged in with your Amazon buyer account. And Amazon can tell you with a very high degree of accuracy how long it will take to get that product to your door. I mean, it may seem like a simple matter, but there are loads of technology and computing goes behind identifying when your product will be arrived and how to get it to your door. It truly is remarkable.
You know, I work a lot in volunteer roles with producing events and different things around the community, and I'm pretty good at logistics, but all of those things you went through just is enough to make your head swim.
Oh, yeah, and I didn't talk about all of it. I just talked about the high-level stuff. It's pretty remarkable. I do hope that, and look, I'm probably hoping against hope here, Kyle, but I do hope that this supply pain that the entire world is struggling with provides some investment and some incentive to find ways to bring more manufacturing onshore. I have a feeling that this glut will work itself through and everyone will go back to buying everything they can from the China or Asia factories and go through this whole supply chain. But it would be great, wouldn't it, if we could add more manufacturing capacity. It won't be like it was back in the 80s, but with technology, with robotics, in ways that we can employ technology here in the United States to bring more of these manufacturing of goods here. That's my hope. It's a dream. Maybe I don't know how much of that will come to reality, but you should never waste a crisis, and hopefully this crisis is driving some investment for the future here of manufacturing in the U.S.
You talk to a lot of people around the country, whether it's Wall Street Journal or PBS or any of the national networks. Does it seem like the whole nation is in a bit of a panic mode when it comes to the supply side issue?
You know, the ones that are in the panic mode are the small businesses. Unfortunately, the small businesses are taking the brunt of it. Because, look, Costco and Walmart and Amazon, they have their own ships and they have their own airplanes and they have their own logistics networks. And so they're less susceptible to running out of inventory or having these problems processing goods through the ports. But it's the small businesses, and frankly, in my opinion, Kyle, it's the small business sellers, of which there are millions, who have helped make Amazon what it is today. And those are the folks that are really panicking right now. Because if you have a big holiday season where 40% of your sales happen in November, December, and those goods don't arrive until January, you're sitting on that cash and you're sitting on that inventory until the next holiday season if you're lucky. And so those are the ones I'm most worried about. On the consumer side, like I said, I go back to what I said earlier in a previous segment is, you will be able to get a thing. There's 500 million products listed on Amazon. You may not be able to get the one you want, but I'm confident that you'll be able to get something. So I'm less concerned about consumers, much more concerned about small businesses that, frankly, make our country tick.
Yeah, and we've seen that in an area like the Umpqua Valley here, vast majority of the businesses are small, some of them even down to, one or two or three-person operations, and having big impacts from being able to get things or trying to sell.
You know, my heart goes out to them, and I'm hopeful. And I do have some of these conversations with representatives. I'm hopeful that if necessary, that Congress and our legislators can put together some additional rescue packages for some of these small businesses, if necessary. They are the heart and soul of what makes our economy tick. They don't get enough credit. They provide half of the jobs in this country. They don't get enough credit. And, I'm hopeful. I hope that legislators will take action if necessary, because they are the ones that are suffering the most during this logistics crisis.
And because this is really impacting the entire world, if somebody has a product, whatever it is, wherever it's coming from, and they can't get it out there to be sold, then we have yet another problem.
We do. We absolutely have another problem. And, I was thinking about paper, right? Paper pulp is under a huge shortage. Commodity prices have gone up. And so imagine how many products are being affected because the supply of paper is much less as a result of COVID demand. That's a lot of products. That's a lot of businesses, a lot of small businesses. And so there is a little bit of a terrifying ripple that's going through the business community. I know it will resolve itself someday. I just hope we don't lose small business as a result of it in the meantime.
About 30 seconds left here on Inside Douglas County. Jason Boyce with us from Los Angeles. What are your final thoughts for folks about dealing with the holiday season?
Order now. Order now. Get on your Prime app and start ordering your Amazon orders or your Walmart orders today. And do the same. If it's not available online, go to the stores now. Don't wait until, a week or two before Christmas, because the pickings will be slim.
And if people want to connect with some of what you're doing, what's a good way to get your word out there?
Well, thank you, Kyle. You can reach me at my website, avenue7media.com. I'm also on Twitter at JASBOYCE and LinkedIn, Jason R. Boyce.
Jason Boyce on Inside Douglas County. Jason, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.